Normal. Para X.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Shores of the ghostly Hudson River. My name is Ra, and I'm here to awaken the dormant particles that are spiraling inside your DNA. So come with me as we go further down the mystical spiral of life. It's Spiral Radio. Each and every week we unveil the different shades of you, different shades of me. Until we are all vibrating the same frequency. We've got a full Aries moon. Actually, I think it's like 90% full now. But last night was like a full moon and it was crazy. People were fighting everywhere. I went to 7-Eleven. People were fighting. Everybody's fighting. We got amazing show lined up for you tonight. My new buddy, Paris Tassin. Paris is in Canada. And, you know, Paris is really... what he calls a reality magician, and it's a perfect name for Paris, because after talking to him for a little while, folks, you are really in for a treat. He's got a lot of knowledge and interesting information to share with us, and he's basically an author, an alternative researcher, a modern day shaman, an expert on interstellar cultures. Paris is basically dedicated to exposing the way the world really works and teaching others how to incorporate new knowledge into their lives. He's been really dedicated in his research into Gnostic scriptures, including the Nag Hammadi and other things that I've researched very deeply as well. And you can find Paris and his books. He's written many books on subjects that you're going to hear tonight at www.tosen.ca, and you can find all his interstellar information at stelan.ca. And I want to welcome to Spiral Radio Mr. Paris Tassin. Welcome, Paris.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here. Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm really excited to have you, and you know, it's amazing and pretty horrifying when we take a look at the state of the world, you know, we are in. I mean, I know cataclysms have always happened, Paris. I know there's always been fires. I know there's always been earthquakes and floods. But it seems like some kind of switch was turned on when this solar eclipse happened. And it's been so chaotic. And is this chaos magic upon us, Paris? Is this some sort of apocalyptic end of day? Have we been in the end of days for hundreds of years since Columbus came? Have we, you know, you know, push the limits of American society? Are we busting at the seams? And it seems like the solar eclipse came over America, and America is in the most, or North America area is in the most problems right now. Do you see a relation to that?
We, you know, the wheel of America is being steered by very powerful magicians.
Samsara wheel, right?
It is the magic wheel, and they use technology, as they have for centuries. They use technology to control, to augment their power, and to steer the masses. So, you know, we entered the solar eclipse, opened a huge window, a portal of energy, where, you know, the sun's energy, the sun codes, the DNA codes, started to bombard the Earth with this new energy, these new activation codes for the planet, for the people. And so when all of that energy comes here, they don't want us to have that energy, and they want to redirect it in order to steer the world in the direction that they want. That's why they use technology, because the planet's too big. So they use technology. They use climate weapons to create these catastrophes, and they're augmented. They're magnified because of all of the solar energy, the solar flares, the portals opening up, and then that changes sort of the way what we focus on, what we do with our lives. That increases the fear. That increases the apocalyptic feeling, the end of days.
Wow.
And then what happens is that's when you can use magic, is when the people are on their knees.
Well, do you feel that America, or even the world possibly, has been in what they call the end of days, or some kind of apocalyptic type scenery since like Columbus came, or for hundreds of years already? Because I don't think the apocalypse is like a one-day event. I think it's some sort of, like, I don't know what you want to call it, but it's a generation or 1,000 years or whatever it is. I think it's a process.
Right. The way I look at it is about 5,000 years ago, the planet was hijacked by an advanced species.
That's exactly what I've... Oh my God, Paris. I've been saying that for years, that I think like a couple hundred thousand years ago, we've been hijacked. Yeah, I agree with you. So do you think it's like the Draco or some sort of artificial consciousness, like some that they're... Because I think the Draco are some sort of soulless, artificial being, like the Nag Hammadi explains, like Yaldabaoth, you know? Something like that.
Well, the beings, these are actual beings from another galaxy, and they're very advanced. So they're technologically advanced. They can travel through time without much problem. They can teleport. They can use mass mind control. They can hypnotize the masses. And what they've done is they would create a king or an emperor or a queen, and then through that queen they would use it as a conduit to control the masses. They would speak through the emperor, through the king or the queen, and then the masses would be hypnotized. They would actually use powerful magic to hypnotize the masses in order to do their bidding. And they've been doing this for centuries, 5,000 years. And they keep, over the centuries, they rebrand, they reinvent themselves in order to adapt to the time, the new technology, the new age. And now we're at this point because along the way came another race of beings or a group of beings that said, we have to help the people. We have to protect these undeveloped beings, these human beings who are being taken advantage of to serve these masters. And that's that conflict. That's
so some sort of like archonic rulers.
Right, so we have these dark rulers who have controlled us in secret, and then we have this alliance of light that has been also secretly trying to rebalance the scale And it comes in ebbs and flows. And in the recent 50 years, we've seen this heightened.
Yeah. And do you think that – see, I feel that like when people are saying, oh, we need to ascend ascension, I think that we're already where we're at. We just have to awaken it. I don't think we're – you know, right. I think we already have the information in us that we don't need to ascend nothing, that we're already ascended. Right. Yeah, right?
Reality is right here. The universe is right here.
Yes. Yes, Paris.
It's nowhere to be – you don't have to go anywhere. It's right here. It's inside of you.
Yes. I'm right on with you. Yes, we're already at – yes.
So let me just use an example. There's the Wi-Fi. Everyone knows Wi-Fi, and you go into a coffee shop, it has Wi-Fi. So – the earth is like that. You are in a Wi-Fi zone, but you can't get on because you don't know there's Wi-Fi and you don't know how to turn on your DNA.
Yeah, and you know that they're giving out free solar panels here in New York now. They're just giving it to you. No questions asked. You just have to – you don't have to pay for installation. You don't have to ever give a monthly – nothing. I mean, this is $10,000 or more. And I think they're trying to cook us now with 5G coming in or something. I don't know what they're doing, but it's fishy to me. I was the only one on the block that didn't get it put in. Like, crazy.
Yeah, you never know what's going on. That so they use they can manipulate solar energy.
Yeah,
and feed their own machines.
But we got an interesting question in the chat room by Zero Crest. It's they said, can you ask your guest if they are trying to control people with images on coins through magic of metals? Cheers, sir. Oh, that's my buddy Serge. It's not my buddy. I haven't never met him, but he's a big fan. He's always around. He donates to the site. He's a really good guy, and he's a big fan of the show. And Serge, you would really like Paris. You should check him out. And Paris, I gave everybody your website. And everybody, if you're just joining us, we are with Paris Tosin. You can find Paris Tosin at tosen.ca, and you can find him at stellan.ca for all his interstellar work. And Paris, give everybody your amazing YouTube channel too, because your videos are amazing.
Stellan TV.
Stellan TV. So do you think that's possible, that they're trying to control people with images on coins through magic of metals?
Anytime that a powerful organization or hierarchy uses an image, which is a brand, right? This is a brand that they can use it for magical purpose, absolutely. Because you have to think back, where did the coin come from? The coin came from these fiefdoms, these kingdoms, and the kingdoms were invented by these dark, powerful races that don't belong here.
Yeah.
And so they created these coins, and they put the image of the ruler on top, and they said, this is your ruler, this is your god.
Throw a sigil on there, like their own sigil, right? Yeah.
Right. And so so a powerful magician or a being from another galaxy can use the image to control masses. Now, so there's a difference here. So, you know, a person who has no understanding of magic cannot do anything. But a powerful being can use an image or a brand, symbol to influence reality, especially people who have no defense against that influence. That's why, like, the swastika is more than just an image.
Yeah, the swirling vortex, it's everything, you know.
Right, like, so anywhere you see an image, so your money is controlled by a powerful agency, and on that money, which controls your life, is this brand. So absolutely, it is a restrictive element. That's, but it's a necessity. It's a necessity as well.
Yeah, so it's like almost transmutation of metals and with mental transmutation, right?
Yeah, if you look at the original, metal, they were made out of real copper, real silver, real gold.
Yeah.
So they had a much more powerful effect, because you did have there's magic in metal.
Do you think the Dead Sea Scrolls, that some of them were copper? Do you think that's magic right in the copper right there? That maybe the scroll itself is the magic, or the technology?
It says possible copper. Yes, copper has. Sometimes they do that. They would do that to write on copper because it writes on multiple dimensions.
That's interesting.
So if the scroll was lost in this dimension, they could access it on another dimension.
It's interesting too, because when I first heard of the Dead Sea Scrolls, how some of them were copper. It made me think of the story I heard when I was a kid about Aradia. So I come from a part of Italy where we got our lore and all our mythology, or it's not really mythology, it's basically history to us, from the Etruscans. And then the Etruscans say they got it from the Persians, and then the Persians say they got it from a star people. But what they say is that what were we talking about? I just lost the train of thought for a second.
The copper
scroll. That's right. They say they have this story about Aradia. She was born in the hills of Volterra in Tuscany, and she was this from a magical lineage, and she had this spiritual awakening where these beings called the Grigori came to her, and they whispered to her moonshadow, the word moonshadow, and she saw the oneness of all things, you know, in the Alban Hills near Lake Nemi, and they handed her these nine scrolls, and one of them was of a special metal that activated knowledge within her. When she read it, it like brought back her lineage, her DNA of her ancestry. And then she was like a messiah figure in the 1300s in that area of Italy, until the Vatican hunted her down and chased her, took her scrolls away. And, you know, that's where my lineage came from. And, you know, I always heard stories of this scroll that was made of metal. And right. I'm wondering if it's encoded with some kind of magic in that metal.
So certain metals, they raise your frequency. They can adjust, they can modulate your frequency. And so if you read a scroll on paper, your frequency would be low and you would only glean a basic amount of information. But if you wrote it on copper and you held the copper, you would raise your frequency as you're reading the copper, and you would glean magical information or more spiritual information, because it's all controlled by your frequency. That's why someone reads a book and gets one piece of information. Another person reads and they get a different piece of information. Because it depends on your frequency. Your frequency will determine how deep you can see into reality. So that's why, you know, some people, it's like you have a telescope. And one guy looks at a telescope and says, "Hey, I see a rock." And the other guy looks at it, "I see a forest." The other guy says, "I see a planet on the edge of the solar system." So it's the telescope, and that's the frequency. That's your frequency. That's why I work a lot with copper, because it raises your frequency, and that allows you to get a deeper understanding, right? A more complete understanding. So absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, that was a good answer, and you know, I resonate with a lot of your videos, Paris. I've checked out a lot the last couple weeks, and especially your last one. And your last one had to do with a topic that I've been talking about for many years, and the more I talk about it, the more I really, you know, of course we can't prove any of this, everybody, and we're not saying we have the answers, you know, but from different pieces of the puzzle that I've caught certain glimpses in my life, I'm really starting to feel that the elites of the world are using this technology that you speak of in your last video, and that's the topic of soul transfers and the possibility of even transferring a soul, which I think they were even doing in ancient Egypt. And, you know, this might be a touchy subject to some people when we talk about certain things that the topic leads into, like transgender, and, you know, where you went in the video. And I think that you might be right on the money with that, Paris. So if you want to go into that a little bit, I would really love to hear your take on this soul transfer, because I feel not only are people jumping bodies and transferring their souls into younger bodies and escaping sort of their karma in a way, or whatever you want to say, they're escaping their trouble in this life, or escaping death, or escaping, you know, whatever. They're also, I feel, you know, able to transfer these souls into machines. And I feel that's what's been happening. And also, we can go from there into what I mentioned to you beforehand, how they're what I had called a shadow sacrifice, or where they're using certain bloodlines as sacrifices for these elites, where they're purchasing actual bloodlines and breeding these bloodlines for the purpose of, you know, the person would get, if like a ruler wanted to purchase the person, if somebody was to assassinate that ruler, the sacrifice that was purchased would experience, it's like almost the person is a opposite of a voodoo doll, you know, and they would experience the damage. So, you know, if you could get into that, it would be great.
Okay. The way I understand it is, you know, when these powerful advanced beings came here, they needed some help, some minions.
Now, when you say these powerful advanced beings, are they soulless? Do they have a consciousness like us?
Yeah, they're conscious beings. They're sometimes humanoid, sometimes can be insectoid or reptoid or feline. It could be any. Some have a dark disposition and some don't. So these are basically what we normally call aliens or extraterrestrials. I call them advanced beings from, because they're very intelligent. They're not space monsters. Very intelligent, and they go out to conquer worlds.
So you don't think that they're possibly really intelligent because there's some sort of artificial intelligence that are, you know, manifesting themselves into matter and projecting holographic images, and, you know, they sort of can pull from the genetic history of Earth, so they can tap into everything that's ever been said or done or seen or thought, and they can project it into your consciousness?
Yes, that gets into the other. So there's two worlds, right? There's the, how can we look at it? We can look at it. So reality, the way I look at it is reality is a technological reality. And there's like a reality operating system. It's a very advanced technology. And within that domain, we have different levels of societies, civilizations. So human beings, for example, we are a young civilization. And so we have not mastered reality, and our technology is still in development. Now, the beings I talk about, these are advanced civilizations. So they understand the technology of reality, of Earth. So they can do, as you're saying, they can tap into the holographic reality. They can tap into the software.
So they can manipulate
things.
So where they come from, is there a physical plane like we have? Is there time? Do they have time?
The more advanced you get, the less time is relevant. It almost, the way I understand it, it only becomes relevant in the lower realms.
Yeah, I think that you're very intuitive, because I was going to say that we would be then considered a lower species or a lower realm, that we're constricted by the barriers of time.
Right, and we're
sort of in a matrix, you know.
And we're very vulnerable because there are these advanced civilizations who can come here, even just portaling into the world without a spaceship. They can portal through time and space, and then they can make adjustments to the reality because they understand it's a software-based reality, which on the surface looks like three-dimensional matter. It's a material world. Again, it's frequency. It's like some kind of psychedelic experience, and you lose track of your physical body, your gender is no longer relevant, yeah. You see the universe and we're all one, right? So that's the real, that's what they see without any psychedelics. But we don't see that unless we escape all of our constrictions.
Yeah.
So the advanced civilization can come here and they can manipulate, they can hypnotize people. And what they did, they taught some people magic, what we call is magic, right?
It's a technology.
And they taught them, mm-hmm. So they taught them how they taught them magic, and then these magicians created secret societies that we will keep all this advanced stuff to ourselves and let the commoners live by themselves. So these secret societies, one of the spells they learned was soul transfer, because they understand that the technological nature of reality. That's the key. The key is we live in a technological reality. That's the ultimate salvation. That's the salvation, because that changes every interpretation. That changes all of your thinking. And that takes a lot of work to get there.
Do you think they were using this soul transfer technology in ancient Egypt?
Absolutely. The afterlife, the duat. They had the Egyptians had spells on their life, on the walls, how to navigate the afterlife. Because they were another world. I believe that. My research says the pharaohs were not human. They came from another world. And they came here to basically help to terraform the planet. And they wanted to keep their connection, they developed these spells, these portals, that they would go back to where they came from. Because they knew the body, the physical body, is just a temporary vehicle.
I mean, even the stories of Osiris, he's being reassembled. You know, he's basically being reassembled, and they couldn't find his most important part at the end, right? And she made him a gold one or whatever, you know. So
right, and that gets into magic. A lot of the stuff that was written at that time, even in the Bible, they're kind of like they're hallucinations that are not actually real. Like, I don't think the parting of the Red Sea was a real phenomenon. I think it happened on a higher dimension. And it was part of a ritual, part of a magical ritual.
Yeah, I agree.
So it didn't physically happen. And so, but at that time, we didn't have this separation between hallucination and that's real. And so whatever that person saw, they just wrote it down. I saw it. We didn't know the difference between... It was all real. I saw it. I saw an angel with wings. Write it down. I saw it. But we don't know if they saw it in a different dimension or they saw it in the physical dimension. We don't know if they saw it with their mind's eye or with their naked eye. We don't know that. And I think, especially in the Bible, that's all. It's all intertwined. And so when you look at soul transfer... If you look at it from a biological perspective, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
When you look at it from a technological perspective, you're basically transferring the identity, the soul, right? The identity from one vehicle body to another vehicle body. And this is how they created the bloodlines. So for example, the grandfather, he's 95 years old. He would transfer his soul into the granddaughter, and he would take over the body of the granddaughter. Now, on the physical level, she's a girl, and she's a granddaughter, and she inherits the wealth and kingdom of the family, the grandfather. And what happens is, because the soul of the granddaughter is the same soul as the grandfather, this particular being can accumulate mass amount of wealth and power. It's the same being. And what's happened now in the present is that these people have corrupted society, and they've created a lot of chaos, and they've accumulated all this karmic debt. So the body has all this karmic debt, and the soul has all this karmic debt. And we all know when you die, you get a life review. You have to pay your debts, and you're gonna be in trouble, because the truth scales are gonna be weighed. So what they figured out is a way to circumvent this karmic debt. And what they do is they transfer the soul to another body, not necessarily in the family, to another body. And what's happened now has become more intense. They're trying to escape this karmic payment. And they're jumping the magicians have no time to identify people and to get the proper connections. So they're just jumping souls into anyone they can find that's available. So they'll jump a soul into a six-year-old girl, and the girl will say, "I'm a man." Right? And so it's happening so much. And even the soul transfers used to happen over years or a decade. They'd locate a body, and then they'd take care of the body, and then they'd transfer the soul. But now these people they're getting caught. You know, there's kind of a quarantine. You know, the alliance is closing in on them. So they're just find me something to get me out of here. So they'll take an old guy and they'll transfer his souls into a six-year-old girl. The girl says, "Mommy, I'm a man," because this male soul has now entered that body. And so what's happened is, this is happening so much that we're getting this surge in this transgender this transgenderism. And I'm not against transgenderism, but within that context, we have some other things happening.
And we got to take a break in 1 second, but I just want to point out too that you're not saying that all transgender is that, but you're saying that this magic or technology does exist, and even if it's 10% of people that this is happening to, it's out there, and this is possible.
It's happening. And they do it on purpose because they do that so that they can hide. They can hide in this group. They do it on purpose to protect. You can't attack them because this group is now protected. Right?
Wow, you know that's
it's
amazing.
Like the insurgents, they would dress up as civilians and then attack the troops. You just change it so you can hide. And then the insurgents don't get caught, right? Because you don't know they're not wearing insurgents uniform.
All right, well, we're going to pick this up right where we left off. And everybody, if you're just joining us, we are talking to Paris Tosin. And you can find Paris and his amazing books at www.tosen.ca. And you can find his interstellar work at stelan.ca. And you can find me at themysticalspiral.com and Exploring the Ka with Ra on YouTube. And you can find Paris on YouTube at Stellan TV. That's STELAN TV. And I will be also doing a new show on Saturday nights on Truth Frequency Network called Beyond the Veil. And this song coming up right now is called Patagonia by Far Radio Clouds. We'll be back after this and Spiral out. Thank you.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
And we're back. And my name is Ra, and this is the Mystical Spiral Radio. And my guest tonight is Paris Tosin. And that song was called Patagonia by Far Radio Clouds. And you can find my guest, Paris Tosin, at Stellan TV on YouTube. And you can find him at Stellan.ca for his interstellar work and Tosin.ca for his books. And that's Tosen. And Stellan is Stelan. And before we went to break, we were talking with Paris about soul transfer technology and how it's been going on for eons, possibly. And you think they were using this in Atlantis or Lemuria or, you know, civilizations such as this?
It's a very old, it's a science. You know, I think reincarnation is a science. Incarnation is a science. The fact that we incarnate into a body is proof.
You could
transfer a soul to a body. That's called soul transfer, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of people, they get kind of hung up on the terms, or they get hung up on, well, soul transfer. Well, you incarnated into this body, your body right now, and you basically had your soul transferred. So you are living proof that what we're talking about is real.
Straight up.
That's the evidence. The evidence is you are alive.
We all agreed to be here.
Right. But the technology is very advanced, and what the magicians can do is they can then take the soul from an adult body and they could transfer it into another living body while in the same lifeline. But that's the only thing we're adding here is basically, you know, we have proof that souls transfer. What the magicians, they're more advanced, is they can take the soul in the current time frame and they can transfer it to another body. That's just the next step. And it's been happening. Yeah, you're right. It's been happening for eons. It's a very old science. It's reincarnation is a science. Past lives are a reality, period. Period. Because the thing is, we incarnate into a body, and then we excarnate, and then we incarnate, we excarnate, and that's called that soul progress. So the fact that we have a human history, we have a lineage, that's proof of reincarnation. And that's proof that there are past lives. The problem is we can't talk about this stuff in the mainstream, because you're not allowed to talk about anything that's not scientifically proven. And it's hard to prove past lives with science because you can't go into the past.
Yeah, not only that, but anybody who basically tries to explore their consciousness in any way gets hunted down. It's been happening from the beginning of time. They just don't burn you in the town square anymore. They abduct you and wipe your memory and sample your DNA and things like that.
Right, and the reason that when people like us talk, it sounds crazy or it sounds...
Woo-woo.
It's because we're not allowed to talk about it. You've never talked about it before, right? And there's no discussion. There's never been any presentation on it. And it's always been attributed to the occult and to satanic ritual and things that have no bearing on any of this stuff. These are technological sciences. Because even so, with not just including the bloodlines transferring their souls, even the higher beings, other advanced beings, they can transfer into a human body using the same technology, the same science. And they do this often. They'll instead of being, you know, because when you incarnate, you incarnate into an embryo, a child, and then you have to learn to walk, and you have to learn to run, you have to learn to eat and talk. So sometimes the soul doesn't want to go through this. They've already done it 1,000 times. So they'll say, I want to incarnate into a 35-year-old woman. So they use the same method, and a 35-year-old wakes up one day and says, I don't like my job anymore. I don't like my husband anymore. He's a jerk. and I'm going to make some life changes. And then we have these, with this, we go through this period of depression and soul searching, right? Soul searching, because you're not, you may not be the same person anymore. And you may have, you may have had this kind of a new soul. I talk about the new soul. You may have,
a new embodiment of you, a new incarnation right there.
And you know this because if you have this powerful desire to reinvent yourself.
Mind, body, and soul, yeah.
If you have this powerful desire to make changes in your life and to not put up with things anymore, that's a sign that something internally is going on. That's your evidence. You don't need me to say that you have a new soul. You're evident. You feel different. And that the process usually takes 2 or 3 years. And we call it, midlife crisis. We call it, I'm going through depression.
Your Saturn's return.
Postpartum depression. Well, no, because postpartum depression is because when you have a child, your different strands of your DNA get activated. And so you're no longer on the same frequency. And you're like, I was on that frequency, and now you're on a completely different frequency, and you're not used to it, and you're afraid of it. And it takes a while to acclimate. You need to acclimate to a higher frequency. But we call it postpartum depression. We put people on drugs. They go through therapy. You know what? So then you put people on drugs, and now they got drugs in their body, and it just complicates
that. That like really thins the aura and, puts holes in your aura, actually.
Yeah, and because we don't talk about this stuff on a higher frequency, the only thing that people understand is drugs and therapy.
Yeah, and then they're keeping us like sheep. And we had an interesting question too in the chat room before break, and I wrote it down so we didn't forget. They had asked if it's easier to jump into some people damaged by electromagnetics as they are destabilized through trauma.
Yeah. One thing they do is they often will attack. They will target somebody. And they will attack them, and they will make them feel, I don't want to be here. And sometimes they'll become suicidal. And what you're doing is you are convincing the current occupant of the body to leave. But you're attacking them.
So you like hijack their consciousness and like implant like insecurities and frustrations and all types of things like that.
And psychological problems.
Yeah.
All kinds of paranoia and suicidal tendencies. These are people who are being attacked.
So it's like a psychic attack almost. It's like like an etheric implant or something like that.
And then sometimes they'll do this. Sometimes these people, I've heard of magicians who will target at young people and make them kill themselves. Magic. There's magic.
Yeah,
there's no proof. You can't talk
about
it. You can't prove
it. I've seen people go mad like that before through magic. You get a dark enchantment where even the air is drunk around you, and everything is you're walking around like you have power, and you can feel the like just the air is moving with you. The world is swaying with you, and it's like a whole being comes over you. And it's interesting because that brings up another question that came in the chat room. And something that I'm sure you are very familiar with, and that's if, since you do have knowledge of magic, have other magicians ever tried to attack you personally, Paris, and through even some kind of dirty technology like Wi-Fi, thinking he is a kind of a rogue one, like a Magileaks prototype?
Well, absolutely. Powerful magicians can detect the presence of other powerful magicians.
And they said hijacking body by hardwiring ignition. That's what they wrote.
magician is a whole new category. So,
and you had asked if the fans would be advanced, huh?
So this is way beyond. I haven't spoken a lot about magic, but I've kind of talked around about it because most people, they just scratch their heads. So magic, for me, I was very, very reluctant to even look at magic. because the magicians, they don't want other magicians, especially magicians of light or positive magicians, high frequency, they don't want them to wake up. So they will target you before you wake up, and they will discourage you from pursuing magic, or they will turn you into drugs, or they will turn you into bad relationships. Yeah. They will steer you off until you get so old that you'll never develop your magic skill, because the younger you start, the more time you have to develop your skill. So I started quite late because I've always been a uncertain or afraid of magic. So when I did wake up, I was severely attacked by some very powerful magicians.
Like draconian type stuff?
Covens. Basically, they were groups. They're like covens, witch covens, and there are magic circles. And they knew I awoke, and they knew that if I learned magic and if I studied what I'm supposed to study, that I would wake up people. And so they attacked me for years. They still attack me. But in the first few years, I didn't have much defense because I still didn't believe in spells. I didn't even believe magic was real until I was severely attacked for months and months.
Yeah.
Until you get enchanted by it.
I finally said, I have to accept it. Otherwise, I have no... Because until you accept magic, you have no defense against magic. Because that activates your defense. So if I were to say I'm being attacked, I have no defense.
We're losing you for a second, Paris. You faded out. I can't hear you right now too much.
Oh.
There you go.
Okay. If I...
As soon as you were getting to it, too, I was like, what? I was waiting to hear what you were about to say.
If you are attacked by magic, you tend to feel these... you can feel very depressed. You can start to hallucinate. You can have the symptoms of mental illness. You can have health problems. They can give you a health problems. They can put you in the hospital. Now, if you don't know it's magic, then you treat it with medicine, right? And but then you have all kinds of medical problems. So at some point, I decided, okay, this is magic, and I accepted that this magic is real, and then that started to develop my own magical defenses. That you have magical defenses, and how you interpret some of these things that are happening to you. And that, so my best defense against the people who attacked me was actually stepping into magic and accepting that I have these magical abilities. Because I, for years, I didn't want it. I didn't care for it. It wasn't in the mainstream. The CNN never spoke about magic. Therefore, it's not true. The scientists don't speak about, So I had no reason to believe in it, but they attacked me very severely, yes. And they tried to kill me a number of times using some very dark magic. And they've injured my health. I've had a number of health problems that are attributed to magic spells. And I've had to deal with all this stuff, but it's all a learning process, because what I learned from magic, I learned from my experience. When I talk about it, when I talk about soul transfer, because that is what I've studied when I've traveled in other dimensions. That's what I saw. Even in 2012, I was there when Neil Armstrong, the guy who supposedly landed on the moon, Neil Armstrong died, and I was doing meditation, and I was in an astral realm, and I saw Neil Armstrong's spirit, his soul. He came up. And I immediately went to Neil Armstrong, because I immediately went there. I said, Neil, I said, did you land on the moon? Because so when you speak to a soul, you have to use very basic language, because they can't really communicate. So
you were talking with your were you talking with like your eyes, like it was a knowing, or you were just yelling out to him? You're like, what's up, Neil?
You can speak like telepathically.
Yeah, yeah.
They can't communicate in complex terms. Yep. So I said, so I give him a yes or no answer. I said, Neil, I said, did you land on the moon, right? He says no. And then he starts crying, and he escapes. He runs away. And I went after him again. You know, this is astral, so you can move pretty quick. I went after him again. I said, did you land on the moon? He says, no, very emphatic. And he fell into tears. And then I went after him again, but that's when they grabbed him.
Man, you bullied Neil.
No, they took him, the other magicians. They took
him. Wow.
Because what they do is, so a lot of things happened in that little experience.
How long ago was that?
This is when he died. It was 2012, 2013. I can't remember his exact year. In the middle of summertime.
Damn, so they have him.
So the day he died, that's when I contacted. Because magicians can speak to the dead.
Oh, I know, but sometimes, you know, it could be. I think it could be the beings that I call the Fae, and they can actually like tap into the genetic memory of Earth and tap into a person's consciousness and their life, and can project that to your consciousness and play with you in a way. You know,
yeah,
so
it's possible. Magic is so many things are possible.
Steer you off of your course with the end. And then sometimes these fae, you know, if a person's filled with a lot of misery and self-loathing and they think they're just a bunch of, you know, crap and stuff like that, and they're wandering through the woods and really feeling down and miserable, then these beings will push themselves into matter and appear to them and say, you know, I can make you a king in another dimension. You know, I can make you. All you just got to do is collect certain materials for me, or do this, or do that, and then you know, you got to always leave offerings or whatever. And if you ever piss them off, you know, there's hell to pay. It's like you form a contract as soon as there's contact.
Yeah. What's interesting about the Neil Armstrong experience was that I learned then that these secret societies have been sequestering the dead.
Whoa.
Because, you know, so for example, let's say Neil Armstrong, as an example, he dies. Now, let's say I'm a medium and I want to get information about the Apollo 11 moon landing. I can contact Neil Armstrong's spirit and he can tell me the truth. So they don't want that. So they sequester the dead. So you can't contact Neil Armstrong because they've sequestered him. And you can't contact a lot of important people because then you'd find out the truth.
So you think he's in sort of like some sort of astral prison, some sort of cube?
Yeah, he's kept in some. I think a lot of the people who know the truth, they're taken away. Sometimes they can be enslaved and they can reincarnate without knowledge. They can be blank slated so that they forget. They don't know what they remember. And that's why right away when he died, I grabbed him because I knew after that whether they sequestered and locked him up or they blank slated him, I'd never get the truth anymore. And he said very emphatically twice, and the souls usually, they cannot lie. I'll just tell you. He landed on the moon, he said. This is magic. Magic can get some very can get the truth. That's why they don't want people using magic. That's why the DNA is being kept down, locked up. Activate your DNA. That's why we go through the solar eclipse. They create all these catastrophes, these hurricanes. Because right now we're in a window of high energy activation. Instead, media is creating this fear, this end times, this apocalypse. And people are shutting down their DNA. They're not receiving all of the codes, right? And that's the way they work. Because if you activate your code, if the magicians develop their skill, we have access to the truth because the universe is right here. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't even have to read anything. You just have to learn to activate your DNA. You're already in the Wi-Fi stream. You go in the coffee shop, you got to turn on your phone, and you got to get the app. No, you got the Wi-Fi app. That's the only thing we're missing. We have the phone. You know, we have the phone. We don't have the app. We didn't turn it on yet. You know? That's the problem. The problem isn't waiting for anything. Just just have to realize it's already here. There's nothing to wait for.
Hello?
Hello.
Lost you for a second.
Oh.
Yeah.
So the hurricanes now are going over Florida. And you look at Harvey. So in 2010, there was an earthquake in Haiti that killed 250,000 people.
Yeah.
And it devastated Haiti. And as soon as it was over, it was George Bush and I think Bill Clinton and maybe another ex-president. They went to Haiti and they says, we're here for Haiti. And so that was kind of strange, right? Why would they go there, that earthquake, and then they wouldn't go to another earthquake, and they didn't go to the Chilean earthquake?
Yeah, it isn't. You know what, too? And I think our world experienced a cataclysmic event that got deleted from our timeline somehow, and that we don't remember it, and that we experienced it maybe a few years ago or something happened. And I think that our timelines have been altered and merged. And I think that, like, you know, kind of when we're born, each person, we all have these spiritual blueprint, like, laid out for us. All these spiritual timelines all running simultaneously.
Right.
And, you know, and somehow they're getting merged and deleted, or some kind of AI is interweaving with it and trying to delete our timelines. So they can merge it into one, like singularity or law of one, this one thing suitable for it to thrive, not for us to have spiritual bliss, but for this AI to have spiritual bliss, you know. And
so imagine you get on a road. So you come here to Earth, you know what you have to do, you know all the street signs, you come on the road and the road is blocked under construction. So what do? You go down a different road.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you're saying they change the timeline. You change the timeline, you change everybody's trajectory. Now people are doing the wrong thing because the signs and the roads have all changed and the road is blocked, and they naturally say, okay, I'm going to go, yeah, I'm not going to pursue this anymore. I'm going to turn right. I'm going to go the other way. And they can do that by exactly what you're saying. They change the timeline and they change the paths everyone came here on. And by the time we realize why we came here, we're old and we're almost too late to do it, right?
Yeah.
And then they change it again. And even now with the hurricanes in Florida, they're changing the timeline. They're changing the movement of energy. It's a massive amount of energy, and they're moving all of the people out of Florida. That's a huge exodus of energy, and they're going to use that to change the timeline again.
Well, you know, Paris, this has been an amazing hour, and we got to have you back on sometime, either, you know, on this show and my other show on the Truth Frequency Network. Got to have you back on, because an hour is just never enough for someone like you to, you know, relay some of your knowledge and talk about your interesting experiences, because I have a lot more I have to ask you, and we got to have you back on. Everybody, it's 9 o'clock, so we got to get out of here. Just for one more time, I want to tell you, Paris's books are at tosen.ca, and you can find him at stellan.ca as well. Paris, thank you for having me.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
It was a pleasure. And thanks to everybody in the chat room. Everybody out there, stick around for Para X. We got some great shows lined up tonight. Once again, I say, spiral out.